that works. Faith that works. The faith that works is the faith that can call things that be not as though they were. Faith that works is what Abraham did. Fully persuaded that that which God has promised, he is also able to do. The faith that works is the faith that God, you get to that point where God's word is rooted and built up in you. You've done all you need to do to stay on the word. Because, you know, your victory is in the word. The faith that works is the faith that says, in spite of all, in spite of all, it is what God has said that is what's going to happen. Yes, the devil can raise all the dust he wants to raise. But the faith that works, the one that says, calling things that be not as though they were, if it was something simple and easy, everybody would be doing it. But what some of us tend to do is, we call things that are as though they're not. I'm not sick. I'm not. No. At that time, you are feeling there are some symptoms that is threatening your health. So what is not present at that time is health. So what do you call? Health. Health, come. And the way God showed me, very simple. If I'm in the living room, and even if the remote for the TV, I'm on the couch, and the remote for the TV is there, John is not in the living room. I can say, John! Because at that time, John is not in the living room. John! He said, yes, daddy. Let me get that remote. But what I needed at that time was John, isn't it? He's not in the living room. Things that be not as John. That's it. And then, what gives me, now, I went ahead of myself. What gave me the authority to call John, even though I can just, and take the remote. Also, I've gone ahead of myself again. It's the authority as a father. And God, I think in the first prayer of, Paul's first prayer, said he has put all things under his feet. All things. Where? What does that mean? You have authority. You can call it. You call things. And the faith that works is the faith that is mine. I'm calling it and you call it forth. But four things. Four things that needs to be in place. The first one, and I think this is where, because if you can graduate from this one, then even me as I'm talking, if I can graduate from this one, yes, I was set for life. Putting God's word above all. Simple statement, but difficult. No, okay, let me take it back. You need the grace of God to be able to do it. You've lived in this body for how many years? You know, when you're feeling like this, that means, maybe the flu is coming. And pastor not saying, I should say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am you. But first step is putting the word of God above all. Your feelings, and especially what you can see. Because in some, in 1 Corinthians, it says, he used the things that are not to confound the things that are. Yeah. Above what is. Because what you can see is of a lesser spiritual power than what you can say. Yeah? So above, putting God's word above your feelings, what you can see, and this one, above all, whatever anybody has to say. Above, now, I'm not saying be disrespectful, but until God's word can confirm personally to you what you have heard, it's not yet the gospel truth. Because Jesus himself has warned us. He said, these times that we're living in, it is going to be very easy to be derailed. There are sometimes I just refuse to go on social media. Refuse. And I've warned my wife. Okay, I haven't warned her. I haven't warned her yet. My question, how do you find these clips? People that think it's okay to just throw them. And the painful thing is, you can take my message today and dissect it and just pick maybe 10 seconds. That is not, because I'm still in this room. I'm still restricted to my experience. Even though I'm prayed up and God is backing me. But if you want to find a fault in this message, you can just study, just pick 10 seconds. And pastor said this, but I just refuse. Because you need to get to that point where the Bible becomes your standard. Yes, I have to be very cautious here. I'm not saying, that means all I need is my Bible. No. Even what you are hearing today, don't take it as the gospel truth until you have gone to the Word and you found it so for yourself. Because at best, what you're getting today now is God's revelation to me. But when you go to God's Word, it then be, you now give yourself that, you grant yourself that permission to now, for that now to become your own revelation. And that is when it matters to you. Okay? So first step is placing God's Word above all. How did Jesus answer the devil's first temptation? How did Jesus respond to the devil? First temptation. He said, if you are the son of my, convert this stone into bread. What did Jesus say? Thank you. Man, but, thank you. Key word there is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And for you to enjoy that every. Because it's not, he didn't say man shall live by the word from God that you heard. Is every. God knows that the quality of the life you live is dependent on his word that you hear. So he's always speaking because he wants you to have a life of quality. So he's always speaking. For you to get to that point where you are hearing easily, steadily, consistently, constantly, you must graduate from the school of putting God's word above all. Because whatever you hear from God, you will always get confirmation from your Bible. At least you find two or three places from Scripture that backs what you've heard. Because he will not speak, whatever he says, whatever God would say to you will always have its root in your Bible. So putting God's word above all. Second one. You then start meditating on God's word. Meditate on God's word. What did God tell Joshua when he was about to take over from Moses? Joshua was taking over from Moses. What did God tell him? Thank you. Shall not depart from your mouth. Yes. Thou shalt. Yeah, night. Thank you. So that. No, before that. Before that. No, before that. Thank you. Observe to do. If your meditation in God's word does not move you to do, that was meditating. Exercise is meditating. Because the meditating is that you may observe to do. Jesus said, why are you calling me Lord, 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 but you don't do what I say? Let me show you. The one that comes to me and hears and then does is what? Like a man that digs deep. So if the meditating doesn't get to the point that not time to do. Yeah, just I've gone ahead of myself. You see, step one. I do this. Whenever I find a command where God is saying, do something. Do something. Let no man say. No, if any man is tempted, let no man say that he's tempted of God. That's a command. Don't say that you are tempted of God. So, Father, I don't understand where this attack is coming from. I do not understand. But through it all, I will never say I was tempted of you, or it came from you. That's me obeying. That's obedience. So with every command you have, putting God's word above all simply means once you have read it, once you have found his will, even if it means, because breaking bread means, because Jesus said, as many times as you do it in remembrance of me. So, Father, I found this word. I'm partaking of the body of the broken body of your son and his shed blood. From today on, this scripture I've found, that's what I'm going to be doing. Now you have started placing God's word above. Step two is meditating. But the meditating is to ensure, it's for you to get to the point that you know what to do. Or, most times, God will give you what to say. Yeah, meditate on it. So you meditate so that you now do. And then step three is directly linked. You then act. Yeah. In James in chapter 2, faith without corresponding action is dead. Yeah. You say you have faith, but then we can't see it in your action. Yeah. So, because they work hand in hand. You spend time. You first of all, you have placed God's word above everything. You say, God, yes, so I put your word above it all. Your word is above everything. Yeah. And then you meditate in his word day and night, all the time. You find you are always, you have God's word in front of you. You are meditating on God's word. Yeah. You now, this, it's not time to act. You now know what to do, or you now know what to say, and you do it. And step four is thanksgiving. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let me read two verses for you from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. All right? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It says there, abounding. So you've done all to be rooted. You've done all to be built up. You are now established, but to abound therein, you give thanks. You give thanks. There's a scripture that says, I think it's in First Thessalonians. It says, in all things, give thanks. Not for all things. In all things, give thanks. Just give thanks. Give thanks. Become a thanksgiver. Give thanks. Because therein you abound. Give thanks. Just I've trained myself to say, Father, I thank you, your word works. That in itself is, Father, I thank you, your word works. Yeah? I give you thanks. Your word works. I give you thanks. You cannot lie. You can't lie. You cannot lie. I give you thanks. Yeah. Learn to start doing that. Give thanks. Give thanks. You know, we have, it's like we have two sets of people. We have the people, the faith people, strong in their faith. And then you have those who want to just laugh in the spirit and jump up and down. They want to praise God. They come for several days, praise God. They're laughing in the spirit, jumping up. And then you have the people that just word, bring the two together. Live in the word and then learn to give thanks. Go. Go wild with your thanksgiving. Not in presence of people, because they might think that you've lost it. But sometimes you might get to the point where it's in front of others. You don't care because... they don't know what you're working on, and they don't know the victory that you can see. They do not know what you have seen is coming your way. So, but yes, learn to give God thanks. Yeah. Because therein It's therein that the abounding comes. Yeah, because it says it there. It says, if I read the whole thing again, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Faith that works is the faith where you are established. And how can we tell that you are established? An emergency shoots up. What's your first reaction? Pastor. Nothing wrong with that. Call pastor. Nothing wrong with that. Oh no. Oh yes. Everybody in my line. When they reach 40, that's when they get fired. I'm about to be fired. What's your first reaction? When something unexpected rears its head, what is your first reaction? That is the litmus test of if you are established. Because if your first reaction is, the devil's a liar, Jaddy. He is. Or I like what a friend of mine does. He just starts to laugh. You have failed. He just starts to laugh. And then you now turn to God and, what's your first reaction? That is how to tell if you, because if you are established in the faith, just like David, you can say, lion came, I finished it. Bear came, killed it. This tall, lanky man, no protection. He has his no protection. The same God that delivered my sheep through me from that lion and that bear. I'll deliver this one to me. You are established. And the only way you can have such experiences to look back to, so I can fall back, he's done it for me. It needs to happen once. So, because once you've tasted victory once, there's a saying in my language, the person that knows how to think deep, knows how to give thanks. You can reflect. It's not a small thing. It's a small thing. This is small. My God is bigger than it. And that can only come because you have given yourself to God's word. And the faith that works rests on. And because when I was looking for a title, I was like, because actually, what God wanted to deliver today is roots. I wanted the first time I said, "How deep is your roots?" Hey, Pastor, I said, "Tunde," you might say, "Edit it," but that was how deep is your root? Because what did Jesus say about the man who comes, who hears, and who does? The man who comes, who hears, and who does is like a man who what? When he wants to build his house, what does he do first? Thank you. Dig deep. I think I've said this testimony, or I've used this when I preached. My first visit to Gambia, my AC sister had to run an errand for the mother, so they said, okay, bonding session, follow your sister-in-law. So we're following. So she was now telling me, oh, that house belongs to sister. But then she now said, oh, because in Banjul the soil is funny. You can't build more there. So most of the houses are bungalows. But then when I see in 3-4, what's it called? Buildings, story buildings. And I said, oh, those ones belong to miners. And God told me, you are a miner too. I said, because you dig. You take God's word and then you meditate on it. By doing that, you are digging deep. You are allowing. You are giving God's word the permission to lay down roots. Roots. So that the longer you spend meditating, the longer you spend giving God thanks based on that word you are meditating on, the longer you spend with God's word is forming roots. Because remember what the devil did with the seed that fell stony ground. What did the Bible say? Yeah, springs up really quick. But then, because, what's it called? When when persecution arises for the word's sake, because it doesn't have what? Root. It dies. So devil knows when to eliminate. Stops. And that's very interesting. Very interesting. What do those stones represent? What does those stones in my thinking, stones are the things that you do, the things you give excuses for that denies you time with God's word. Should I say that again? Stones in my head is the things that you allow yourself to do on a daily basis that denies you time with God's word. When all of this was going on, and God wasn't easy on me, because why did you even allow your first hour of sleepless night that turned into a couple of days? Why did you allow it? When you're driving from Horsha to Bromley, 1 hour 10 minutes, what are you doing? Thinking about this young boy that they've been playing. No, that is time you could be standing praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Or, this one I always do. No, have something running. Have a message going on. So stones are the things that we have excused. The things, I'm not saying sin. It's not sin. It's the things that you in your personal lifestyle have allowed. You've permitted it, and it is denying you time with God's word. Get rid of them. Because God's word will always work, and God's word belongs in your heart. But until you allow God's word to form roots in you, and the only way that can happen is just spending time with God's word. You're meditating on it. And yes, your success with meditating on God's word would attract things. But God's word is double-edged. It works in you first. It transforms you. The longer you spend with God's word, one, you are renewing your mind. And once your mind becomes renewed, everything that God deposited in you when you said, "Jesus, be my Lord," now comes to life. Because as far as God is concerned, you are his. You bear his DNA. But until your mind is renewed through God's word, all that God deposited in you is not going to come out. To the point. God said, if after you got born again, you don't take the time to renew your mind, you start acting like your ex-Lord. And that's it. He gave his son a broken body. He shed his blood. Jesus calls you brother. You are one with him. He's in you. You are in him. God looks at you. He sees victory. God looks at you. He sees divine health. God looks at you. He says, that's my best piece of work. But until you have done what it takes to spend time with God's word so that your mind is renewed, you won't experience it. Transforms you from inside out. I love this thing. I guess that's one of the reasons why I still go on Facebook and keep clicking. There's actually two I've seen. One shows a reflection. This is what people see, but then this is what the devil sees. And as you know, people see somebody. I think they took it from Lion King. They saw the reflection of the baby. But then what the devil sees is the lion. The lion. But even in combat, even the armies that do not have weapon, they can still win an army with the best weapon if they don't know how to use it or they don't know they have it. They also win. And it's clear. I do appreciate the things he brings up. It makes it look real. But for you to win every time, take heed to what you hear. take heed to how you hear. The measure you've applied on God's word is the same you get back. And you get to that point where, and then let me disclaimer, even when you have spent time with God's word, your mind is renewed, you know you are the righteousness of God, you are upright, you are standing firm, he will still come just to check, does this guy know? And even if you knock him on the head with God's word, to let him know, I know who I am. I know whose I am. And you knock his head and he runs. He used to come back just to check. Does he really know? So, if you want to be free, if you want to be free from having to stand and having not done all, stand. Just say, Father, take me home now. Because that's the only place where there is no opposition. But whilst you are here, don't worry, it's not because of the color of your skin or the way your hair looks. He doesn't like you. He does not like you. And he knows. He knows all you need to do is say. And he will have to obey you. He knows it. But why are we not saying it? Why? Why? If you knew how to make £1 million, you know. Test it. And you do it. Without even thinking. Would you keep it to yourself? So go ahead, would you keep it to yourself? No, you go and tell people. This is how to make $1 million. You want to make $1 million. Because that is baffling statistics. And I think I also fall under those 85 and 95 that don't. We hold what they're looking for. We have it. And I love the way Pastor from Canada, Pastor, how he broke down evangelism. Because from my experience, my fear is, what if they reject Jesus? I'm not the one they're rejecting. But don't go with the mentality, I want to get somebody saved. No. That one food you put in that person's stomach is enough. It's enough. God will start with that one. That's a seed. That's it. And that's all God is asking for. Because you have experienced it. They are crying. They have bold face. It's screensaver. You get to that. Oh, the one I like. I was walking past a classroom and the guy was crying. Teacher crying. Lunchtime. And me, yes, social interaction. Mr. O, I go to school. I do what my contract asks me to do. I interact with those children in front of me. I deliver the whatever. I get them to pass and that's it. So most times, okay, let me so confess. Most times I would have just walked past, but this day I say, no, let me go and find out what's happening. That when baby girl was 6 days old, and I think they found something in the blood, and baby is connected to whatever machine, no chance of baby surviving. I said, can I pray with you? I don't know where that came from. Can I pray with you? And blinds were up, students were walking, I ignored that, prayed. But then you see, I think for some of us, so it won't feel like we are telling God and evangelizing. For some of us, that might be the reason we are waiting for God to move us. No, he's there. But that day, because he just told me, I didn't let him finish. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. I prayed. He came back the next day rejoicing. Baby disconnected, baby's fine. That's it. If nothing happens, who failed? It's not you. You've done what God told you to do. So, because he says, these signs shall follow. They'll do what? Lay hands. You're not the one making them well. You're just connection. Lay hands. God, I'm obeying you. Lay hands. Let him. But that will not become your lifestyle until the roots have overwhelmed you to the point that you know what it takes to get the answer. Then you become you become God's extension to your world around you. Because you are the focus. Yeah, God has, you know, you're born again, you're heaven bound, glory be to God, all of that. You're going to live a fantastic life. But no. It is that world around that need. They are the ones. That is the reason why. And if the way the world is going, you're like, Jesus, come quick now. Go out and, because as a witness, when the gospel goes across the world as a witness, witness means everybody has had that privilege to know that Jesus is Lord. He'll come for his church. If you want to, if you want us to leave here quicker, they say, Pastor, why only one Saturday? Why can't we do two Saturdays a month? Let's get the whole of Basingstoke. Praise God. I read, is it John Evans? He grew up in Wales. John Evans grew up in Wales. Yeah, young boy from age 4 had a burden for Wales. Didn't come into fruition until, okay, he went to Bible school around 18, 21. That's when revival hit. But from 4, he had been praying. Amen. Hallelujah. But we are the ones. We are the ones. You say we are waiting on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagle. God is waiting for you. Because the power will not flow until you act, until you do something, until you say something, until you represent him. Be it in your personal life or be it to that world around you. Until you take your stand to represent him, he is patiently waiting on you. Amen. Because the truth is, it's all here. It's all here. And God is waiting. God is waiting on you. Can you help me? I'm running up. Can you help? I'm running up. When you see, giving of thanks is. I made mention it here. God has wired us. God knows what he's done in us. When you, I'm not assuming you've gone to. But when people go to like a Celine Dion concert, and the thing hit them, what do they do? You know, the song hits them. What do they do? Cry. What else? They lift up hands. Have you never seen it? When even the singers, they are not Christian singers, you know, but when they are singing their songs, they close their eyes and they lift their hands. Open hands. But when England scored yesterday, what were they doing? That's victory. But when you're giving God thanks in the position to receive, your hands go undone. Because like this, you can't receive anything. You can't. Ephesians, if you study Ephesians, it starts with, he has made us to sit. And you keep reading, he now says, walk in faith, walk in love. And then the last step is stand. Sitting means, what did Mary do? Mary Martha. She came and she sat. Listen to Jesus. The walking is, you now meditated, you now know what to do. It comes what you're doing on a daily basis. But then, when push comes to shove, you now have to stand. And sometimes in standing, it's in giving him thanks. You are greater than what is in front of me. You are the reason why I'm alive. That stands, you know, because I have to stop doing this, but no, I love looking around when worship is happening, seeing how people are interacting. And without fail. Because sometimes, you know, and I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I was how old? 15. So I've never been into service where people are lifting up hands and worshiping God. Before I knew it, I was. Because that's a sign. Yes, I surrender. It's a sign about I surrender. And it's also a sign, I'm ready to receive. Ready to receive. So your giving of thanks, your giving of thanks, having done all. Yeah, you've sat, you've come, you've heard, you're walking. You've found out what to do. You've meditated so that you can observe to do. You are walking. You're walking in love. You're walking by faith. When it comes time to stand, you're not taking a stand. And whilst you're standing, you're giving him the glory. 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 And you're letting a lying devil know that everything that Jesus went to Calvary for me, I will stand and protect it. Listen, we're not fighting against the devil to collect. No, we're not doing that. He wants to take it away. He wants to deny us the victory at Calvary. But you're not saying, no, I am protecting it. This one, me, as you're seeing me, first of all, this body here is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of the Holy Ghost. My heart is sold out to God's word. I've given the word of God the privilege to form deep roots in me. I've given myself away to God's word. And now, I'm taking my stand. Amen. And that is the faith that will work. It's the faith that, listen, we're not trying to make it work. Now get that. We are not trying to be victorious. No. Read. I like what one man of God says. Read the end of the Bible. We win. We have won already. We're just protecting that victory. Amen. Have you learned something this morning? Praise God. Stand your feet and let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks. Hallelujah.